Good evening, brothers. It's good to see you all. And Hudson, thank you for that song, Encourage My Soul. You know, our souls always need encouragement. Guys, tonight we I want to share a lesson here, kind of rooted in, you know, we've been talking about the first century church and the characteristics of these early disciples. And so tonight I want to talk about some characteristics here of that early church that I believe that exemplified just who they were. And, you know, the title of the lesson tonight is Be Teachable. Okay. How or a heart for God should make you a learner. A heart for God should make you a learner. You know, becoming teachable is not about our intellect. It's not about where we went to college or where we, you know, where we studied, abroad or got a master's. It's not about our work ethic, but it's more about the condition of our hearts. And, you know, one of the main characteristics of the first century church, of the Christians, was their heart for God. And, you know, I know Sherry's been sending out quiet times for the book of Acts. Man, if you really want some inspiration, you know, that quiet time is point, you know, spot on and you know, diving deep into the book of Acts. But one of the main characteristics of the early Christians is that that their hearts made them willing and they were excited to learn and ultimately to change. You know, in this passage here in Acts chapter 2, it says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You know, brothers, you notice once people saw the impact of their sins on Jesus, they became teachable. Notice that. When they realized what their sin had done, they were like, whoa, help me, show me. They wanted to learn how to make their relationship with God right. They realized, I'm not right with God. And they wanted to know, what do I need to do? And so they asked Peter to teach them, how do we respond to the way, or how do we respond to the way God wanted them to? You know, what do I need to do? And so here are four things that these people were willing to be taught. Number one, who Jesus was. They're willing to be taught who Jesus was. Not who they thought he was or who they heard he was, but who Jesus was. Secondly, They were willing to be taught the impact that their sin had on their relationship with God. Again, we know that these were religious people who were Jews that had come to Pentecost to celebrate Pentecost in Jerusalem, but the impact of their sin on their relationship with God, they were willing to be taught that. The other thing is, they were willing to be taught how to take responsibility. And lastly, how to live a life of impact. You know, when we develop a heart for God, He leads us to become teachable so that we can continually grow closer to Him, that we can learn how to have impact the way He wants us to have impact on the world around us. You know, it's amazing, brothers, when you stop and you think about when you learn something new, when you go into new territory, there's nothing but humility. There's the attitude of, hey, I've not been here before. Can you show me the way? Can you help me understand this? I remember I got a job at Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I didn't know what I was getting into, but in the interview, my boss at the time said, Russ, this is like being thrown into a burning house on the second floor. Do you want the job? And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it, you know? And what it required, though, was an attitude of learning. I didn't realize, and it's weird how some companies are configured, where there was one guy in the company that knew how to do this process in creating these small group renewal policies. One guy knew how to do it. And so when I got there, that guy went to another department. And so I had to go and find this guy and had to kind of chase him around, sit him down. All right, so when you do this, then what? And then you did it. And it was just very tedious, but it took an attitude that I got to learn what's needed to produce here. And, you know, it was such a good experience in that there was nothing to prove. You had to learn. And it's like, I love that, you know, God puts us in situations like that so that we can learn and that we can grow. And, you know, I want to share a few things here tonight that I believe will help us in, you know, having this attitude, because no matter what aspect of life we're in, if we have this attitude, we're going to grow, we're going to learn, and we're going to become more and more what God wants us to become. And so the first part of this is that we have to trust the process. Okay? Trust the process. If we're going to develop a heart for God and become excited about learning, we have to trust the process. You know, I know this new movie came out, Creed 3, I believe. My son and daughter went and saw it and said, Dad, that's the best one. And, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I plan on it. But in this movie, Creed 2, Adonis Creed is training in a very different way than he is used to. And he decides, okay, I'm going to trust his coach, which is Rocky and the other guy. And during the process, he has to buy in to what they're teaching him. And because he's got to buy into it, he's got to go through this. And so I want to show this clip. I'm not going to show the whole thing, Let's check this out. And excuse the language.
Order. 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 Keep going.
Get used to it.
Fuck! Take it! Take it to the body! Take it! Fight the pain!
You alright?
Thing about it, they don't know what's in my head though. Schizo, maniac, finna go klepto. So hands on, it's gonna hard for me to let go. Lego, my ego in the same boat. With a slow leap, screaming at the world till she prego. Two middle fingers, see you all till I'm dead and go.
Trust the process, guys. Trust the process. Okay, let me get back here. See, I think we live in a culture where we want a quick solution to become successful at whatever it is, but to master something takes hard work, right? Perseverance and trusting the process. You know, and most of the times we need help, we need guidance along the way to become great at something. And when we can trust, whether it's a mentor or a teacher, we become more motivated to be taught. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 in the TBT translation, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, TPT. See, the Bible calls us to be to completely trust God. Or, you know, the NIV, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay. I know I'm not there. I don't trust in the Lord with all my heart all the time, but that's what the Bible calls us to. Why? In order to do so, we have to choose not to rely on our opinions, but instead to rely on him. You know, guys, sometimes in life, we can rely on our opinions in three different ways. I rely on my emotions. I trust what I feel over what God says. You know, secondly, I can rely on my intellect. I will trust what I think over God and what he says. In other ways, I can rely on my accomplishments or achievements. I will trust what I've done over God. And choosing to trust God means that I have to give up all of the things that I just said if I'm going to be teachable, and let God lead me and guide me to who he wants me to become and where he wants to take me. You know, Proverbs 3:6 says that when we become intimate with God, we will trust him to lead the way. And see, intimacy with God means that we know him well and we're comfortable with him and honest and vulnerable with him. This intimacy leads us to have a trust that gives us our whole heart, and that we give him our whole heart, and that we're open to being redirected if it's what he wants. So what are some practical ways that we can rely on God to guide us? All right, here's a few. Acts 17, you can jot these down. Verse 11 through 12. Learn from the scriptures. Don't lean on your own understanding. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Another practical way to rely on God to guide us. Learn from prayer. You know, sometimes it's just, God, show me the way. And you're real quiet and you're waiting. Put that thought in my mind. Put that, song or whatever that's going to help me to learn in prayer. Proverbs 23:12 says, you know, learn from people teaching us about God. And that's why it's, again, relationally, it's so important that we have those spiritual relationships in our lives. And then Proverbs 3:13, the Amplified Version translation, learn from life's experiences. Learn from life's experiences. You know, it's in this idea of trust in the process, you know, think about these questions. Do you give all your heart to God so that he can have an intimate relationship with you? Or do you hold back certain things? You know, what area in your life is God leading you through an unfamiliar or uncomfortable process? You know, that could be a new job. That can be a new relationship. That can be a new spouse, a new family, a new kid, or kids going from, you know, college students to adult kids. And now you got this different relationship. You know, what needs to change in your relationship with God so that you can trust him to lead you through the process? Because that's what he wants to do, brothers. He wants to allow us, he wants us to trust him through the process. Secondly, we need to embrace the bigger picture. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." How many of us know, and if you could put it in the chat, who is the author of the Harry Potter series? Let's see, you know, if we staying connected with the pop culture, put it in the chat. This person is a great example of focusing on the bigger picture. This author started writing what is now considered one of the famous books of a generation while being a single mom, living in poverty, and just coming out of an abusive relationship. And as she went through these hardships, she kept in mind her bigger picture and pursued her life's passion to be a renowned and influential writer. You know, when we focus on the bigger picture, it helps us develop and sustain a learner's heart instead of giving up when we're faced with obstacles and opposition. You know, it's incredibly difficult, brothers, though, to embrace and persevere through the painful parts of the process of being taught if we aren't clear on the bigger picture of why we are being taught. You know, German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once said, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." And, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, think about it. God's reprimanding his people for having forgotten about him. Nevertheless, even though they went through many hardships in the process of learning about the devastating impact of leaving God, God also reassures them and helps them focus on the bigger picture in the passage, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. See, having a heart for God helps us to believe what this scripture tells us about God's why. He has a plan for our lives. And in that plan, one, is it's filled with prosperity, is filled with hope, and it's filled with a bright future. One where you and I are close and intimate with our Father, and that we know in spite of these challenges that we're facing, that he's going to have his will and his way. But again, that comes from embracing the big picture. Again, what difficulties can make you stop focusing on the big picture? Think about that. And then how can focusing on that vision help you to be teachable? Because, you know, when things happen, especially hard things, it's an opportunity for us to learn, as well as good things. It's an opportunity for us to learn, but we got to continue to embrace the big picture. Thirdly, don't think you already know. to grow and being teachable, I need to develop a humility and vulnerability. Matthew 18:3 says, and this is a TPT version, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about God's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter it. Matthew 18:3. I love children, you know. And you know, when you watch a 2-year-old, you watch a 3-year-old, and you see how they love just looking and learning, or you take them out for a walk and they're, you know, maybe touching things, or they're, you know, they're exploring. That's the common behavior of a toddler. But, you know, as adults, we can, you know, feel afraid to ask for help or admit that we don't know something because we believe it will cause people to look down on us. I tell this to my kids, this story, and I said, guys, I was not very good at math, and I would be in the class, and I would be nodding my head, yeah, you get it, Russ? Yeah, and did not get it, because I was afraid of being thought of as a stupid jock. And I remember I failed miserably, and I said, guys, I said, when I got to college, I said, I am going to get this math stuff. And, you know, in going to NJIT, they're going to give it to you. They're going to sock it to you. But I remember just having the attitude, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to just learn and not be afraid. And I remember sitting up, you know, in the front of the class, and I didn't get, you know, things in calc. And it was like, all right, can you explain that again? Can you explain this again? I know you said this, but there was a different attitude, you know? And sometimes if we don't change our attitudes, we're not going to learn, you know? Some of the wrong concepts that we have about learning are that they will think I'm not smart. That's one of the things that I thought, you know, I won't be respected or listened to, you know, I'm going to feel embarrassed and insecure. See, if we're having those thoughts, we got to change the way that we think about learning to match what the Bible says. Proverbs 11:2, when you act with presumption, convinced that you're right, don't be surprised if you fall flat on your face. But walking in humility helps you to make wise decisions. That's Proverbs 11:2. You know, this scripture teaches us that presumption is what gets us in trouble. Presumption, what is that? It's defined as an idea that is taken to be true and often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. Well, here's a fact, brothers. No one is always right. When we act as if our opinions are unshakable truths, we find ourselves brought low when we are proven to be wrong. And becoming humble and teachable is what leads to wisdom and the ability to stand strong. Wisdom is found in our ability to learn. And the more we learn, the stronger we will be, because the better we're going to know ourselves. See, what are some wrong views that you have about needing to be taught? You know, how has presumption made you fall flat on your face in relationships or careers? But then there's the other thing. How can humility change your view of being corrected or being retaught? You know, next principle, shatter your pride. You know, the sin of pride makes us believe that in order to be accepted and loved by God and others, I need to have a flawless performance. Psalm 51, verse 16 and 7 says, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered, lives ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice. That's the Message version. And I love this version of this passage because we know this is where David had blown it with Bathsheba. And so he's, you know, writing. And the scripture teaches us that God isn't after flawless performance, but instead a change of heart. And see, this process of shattering our pride requires us to face our sins and weaknesses instead of hiding behind performance and heartlessly going through the motions. You know, guys, it's easy. And I know for me, sometimes I can feel proud about being consistent because I look back and say, man, I was very, very inconsistent and I've grown in my consistency. Well, great, Russ, but that doesn't make you closer to God. That's great. But the confidence and the intimacy should come from being close to God and knowing this is what pleases God, not performance, not perfection, but man, I'm giving my best and I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to just go through the motions. Man, God sees that as well, but I'm giving you the best I got because man, you're all I got. You know, our pride gets shattered when we stop pretending to be someone we're not, so we can start becoming who God wants us to be. Once we have a different heart, a heart for God, the Bible teaches us that we will be ready to love. And I believe that this, you know, means both receiving from and giving love to others. And it's very interesting, guys. Pride can prevent you from really having great relationships because you're so concerned about what somebody's going to think. And when you get that out of the way and it's like, hey, this is who I am, accept me warts and all, well, now we can do something here. But, you know, what sins or weaknesses do I have to take responsibility for to have a change of heart? You know, and how will shattering my pride help me grow in loving others? You know, I'll tell you, you know, we sisters just had a great Women's Day. And I know right now they're having this Bible study for people, for the sisters, as well as the friends that came. And if there's one thing that can help you to not be so self-focused is trying to help somebody else and getting involved with, you know, serving and just it not being about you and not being about how you feel and but really focusing in on serving someone else, which brings me to my last principle here. Become teachable to teach others. And guys, this is where it really gets fun. Think about this. Psalm 51 verse 12 and 13 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. See, when we choose to develop a heart for God, our own personal experiences will help teach others. You know, the hardships that we go through aren't simply to help us get closer to God, but it's also an opportunity for us to help our friends who will one day go through the very same thing. You know, this scripture illustrates this by showing us that when we turn to God to get comfort, we can then comfort others with the comfort that we have receive from God. You know, I love that when you stop and you think about it, brothers. You know, right now we live in a world that's got unprecedented challenges, that's got all kinds of just dysfunction and the ways that people are acting out. And you know, the challenges with mental health, the challenges with depression, with fear, with anxiety. I mean, we have incredible opportunities before us, all around us. I think now more than ever, we need to decide to embark on the journey of developing a heart for God that will help us to become teachable so that we can help change the lives of those around us. You know, I'm really excited about a couple things that's going on. You know, we've been working with the young singles, and you know, there's a guy that left the Lord and you know, got out there, and you know, he reached back out to me and said, "Hey, man, I need to get right with God. It is crazy out here. I need my relationship with God. And, you know, help me here." So we started going back and just looking at, okay, let me understand your foundation. And we went back to Jesus, and we've been studying the Gospel of Mark and just walking through Mark and talking about just how to have a quiet time and being just connected to Jesus and being drawn to Jesus. And, you know, it's been really encouraging. But what's been more exciting is, you know, so Alvin and Taj had been a part of this study. And so we, you know, we're talking afterwards, and I said, "Well, guys, next week, when we kind of go start doing official, you know, the study series that we have, hey, you're going to lead these two, and you're going to lead these two. And then I'm going to watch, and I'm going to help and encourage, but you guys are going to teach him." And, you know, it brought me joy to see them say, "All right, I'm going to take that challenge." And I'm thinking, wow, what would happen if every one of us were teaching someone else, or maybe two of us band together and said, "Hey, who can we help teach the Bible to? Who can we get into a Bible study and help this person? Not just with the experiences and things that have gone through our lives, but hey, here's some valuable lessons that I've been taught from God, and I want to share with you." Brothers, men are open and want that kind of help. And I want to encourage us to be those men. But it starts with us being teachable. And when we're teachable and we have that heart for God, then we're going to trust the process. We're going to embrace the big picture. And we're not going to think we know it all. We're going to stay in that learner's attitude. We're going to shatter the pride and embrace the humility and continue to become teachable so that we can teach others and then keep learning ourselves. Because I don't care how much you baptize people. I don't care how many, you know, people you raised up or you did this. We have to keep learning as we progress in life. Whether I'm a dad and then one day I'm going to be a granddad, I got to learn how to have a relationship with my kids as adults. I got to learn how to have this relationship with my grandkids. I got to learn how to have my relationship with these. I mean, we just never stop learning. And so I want to encourage us, brothers, let's be teachable. Let's help each other. Again, please take the challenge that you're going to find somebody. You're going to band with a brother, and we're going to teach somebody these valuable lessons that God has taught us. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time that we've had tonight. And God, we thank you so much for the example of the brothers and sisters in the early church. Father, we want that those kinds of hearts, because they were spirit filled. They were dependent on you. And God, I pray that you help us not just depend on you, but that we experience the kind of miracles that they experience. God, there are many on this call that are just living examples of what we're talking about here today. And I pray that you help us to go deeper. I pray for those men on here that are visiting, that are studying the Bible, that they would have that hunger and that attitude. I want to be taught and not put up a front, but to understand that it's not about pretending, that you want what's really, really going on. You want our weaknesses. You want our sins. That is why Jesus came to save us. And so, God, thank you so much for all that you're doing. And God, I thank you for your son, for his example. And God, I pray that you help us be drawn to Jesus, that we really deep down in our hearts want to be like him. Even if we haven't been walking with him or wanting him, change the desire of our hearts and help us to be drawn to him. We love you, and we pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.